Good morning, Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today grateful for your presence among us. You are our refuge and our strength, our help in every season of life. We thank you for the gift of this day, for breath in our lungs, for community around us, and for the opportunity to gather and worship you together. Lord, you know each heart in this room. You know the joys we celebrate and the burdens we carry. Some come today encouraged, others are weary. Some come with hope, others with questions. Meet each of us exactly where we are, we pray. Strengthen those who feel tired or overwhelmed. Comfort those who are grieving or hurting. Give peace to those facing uncertainty. Encourage to those walking through difficult times. Decisions. We pray for our families, our church, and our community. Help us to be people of grace and truth, slow to judge, quick to love, eager to serve, and faithful in prayer. We pray for our nation and for the world. Bring wisdom to leaders, peace where there is conflict, justice where there is oppression, and hope where there is despair. Lord, shape us into people who trust you fully, not only in moments of blessings, but also in times of challenge and change. Teach us to walk by faith, to love one another well, and to reflect your light in a world that needs it. As we worship you today, open our hearts to your word. Speak to us, guide us, and transform us by your Spirit. We offer this prayer with gratitude and expectation in the strong and gracious name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Good to have you here. This morning, my wife Deanna is in Arizona this morning watching with our grandkids. Chico. Hi, Chico. His name's Adrian. I call him Chico. And Santiago, he's a tornado. What a kid. They're great. Anyway, she's over there hanging out. She's coming back, bringing them up here. For 2 weeks, there will be no more peace in my home for 2 weeks. Pray for your pastor. Anyway, it's Super Bowl Sunday. I know. It's like, oh, man. It just reminds you that we didn't quite make it. Anyway. This is the day of the year where grown men will gather at a distant stadium wearing makeup. They call it face paint. The people all over the country will be screaming at the television as if the players can actually hear them. And everyone suddenly becomes a professional referee, coach, and medical expert. Today, half the country will celebrate, and the other half will say, next year. Next year is our year. It's one of the great faith-filled statements in America today. Five simple points on today's message on the Super Bowl Sunday. Point number one, everybody has a game plan until life hits you. Mike Tyson famously said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. It's true. In football, every team comes in with a game plan. Then the ball gets snapped and chaos ensues. It's like life. We plan our careers. We plan our marriages. We plan our finances. And then life says, that's adorable. Speaking of some of the plans of men, Psalm 2, verse 4, it says, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Proverbs 16:9 says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. You know, a lot of people come up with a 5-year plan, and then God shows up and says, let's go day by day instead. Point number 2, everybody loves the limelight. This is the big stage today. But nobody loves the practice that goes into getting to that point. But you can't get to that limelight without the practice. No one watches training camp highlights and says, wow, that stretching drill is amazing. It's not exciting. Practicing, preparing is not exciting. But the Super Bowl is won in the weight room, in practice, and in repetition. They do the same things over and over and over and over and over again. So that when they're in the battle, they can do it without thinking, losing a moment's thought. You know, there's this saying, practice until you get it right, or practice makes perfect, which is absolutely wrong. That's not the way it works. Practice makes permanent. You have to get it right more times than you get it wrong. Musicians, anybody's ever had a instrument and you're preparing for a performance or, you know, competing in some deal. What happens with so many musicians, young musicians, is our practice is wrong. It's wrong and it's wrong and they run 10 times is wrong, and then on the 11th time, they finally get it right and think, all right, I'm ready. You're not ready. Practice makes permanent. It doesn't get it right. What you've done is you've trained your body 10 times how to do it wrong. One time to do it right. That's when they get up to perform, they crash and burn because they, well, I practiced so much. Yeah, but you just kept doing it wrong. These musicians that are here, they know what I'm talking about. They practice a gazillion times. Now, the music that they're playing when they come in here, they go through it once or twice. They don't need to practice over and over again. But they've gone through these chord changes and these progressions and all these things a gazillion times. They don't have to think about it because they've done it right so many times. If they throw us a piece of music that none of us have ever really done anything like it before, we struggle and we make some mistakes. Thankfully, most of you can't tell. But you got to do stuff over and over again. You got to do it right. Do it right more than you do it wrong. You know, people want spiritual results, but without spiritual routines. We want a miracle, but we want it by Thursday. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Tonight at this game, we will witness the results of men who've trained. And as we look at it, think about your own life. Have you trained your life? What about your spiritual life? Have you trained for it? Or are you just coasting? You know, a lot of people, they just cruise along until something goes wrong, and then they're shocked, and they collapse like a deck of cards. Which brings us to point number 3. Pressure reveals what's really inside of you. When the pressure is on, players don't rise to the occasion. They fall back on their training. That's what gets them where they are. Reminds me of some years ago. I was, many of you know, I'm a pilot, and I was flying a twin-engine airplane over Lake Michigan and just buzzing along on my way back home when suddenly one engine stops. That gets your attention. Hello. What happened? Just quickly adjusted what I needed to do, called the nearest airport, which was Milwaukee at the time, said I needed to come in, lost an engine. They cleared me to come in. I'm flying blind through the clouds, can't see a thing, following my instruments, come out of the clouds and have a perfect landing. It was a glorious thing. So how could you do that? Because it wasn't that first time. You see, when they're training you, they train you over and over again what to do if something goes wrong. If you ever take flying lessons, one of the first things they do is you're flying along in a little plane, and then he reaches over and shuts the engine down. And he says, what are you going to do? I don't know, find a different instructor? Anyway, you know, not at all. It shows you what you got to do and how you got to prepare, and you do it over and over and over again. When I was doing twin engine training, they were constantly shutting off the engine on takeoff, on landing, on whatever, you know. So you don't freak out because you just know. It's not the first time. I used to go to annual training in Florida, a nice place to go for training, especially in the wintertime. And they put you in these fancy simulators, and they just keep making everything that can possibly go wrong, go wrong. How are you going to handle it? What do you do? So that when it happens, it's not your first time. And it was like that when this thing happened. I had gone through it so many, many times in practice that I just kicked into what I was supposed to do just naturally, calm as a cucumber, until I climbed out of the plane. And then I was going, it hit me what I just went through. Oh, a little freaky. But you got to prepare for life. You got to expose your life to experiences, to the pressures of life. Pressure doesn't change you. It exposes you. And a lot of people don't like that. Because they go through pressure and then they freak out. And they think, well, it's not me, it's the pressure. But check this out. Here's a Bible verse. It seems a little kind of cruel, but it's not. Proverbs 24:10. If you falter in time of trouble, how small is your strength? Now stop and think about it. What we do if we falter in time of trouble or see someone falter in time of trouble, like, man, that must have been a lot of trouble. The way it was so big. But the writer's going, if you falter in time of trouble, it's not the trouble, it's the problem, it's you. Again, seems kind of insensitive. But it reveals who we are. The verse is basically saying hard times don't create weakness. It reveals it. You know, I was just in Tulsa, Oklahoma yesterday speaking on marriage with a group of people. Great group. They're fabulous people. But you know, talking about, you know, marriage, people think marriage is a cover, that it covers. It doesn't cover. It's a revealer. It will show you at your absolute worst. When you get married, you will say and do things you never thought possible. Why? Because of the pressure. It drives you a little crazy. And people tend to lash out. And they think, they're bringing out the worst in me. I hear all the time, she brings out the worst in me. He brings out the worst in me. No, they're showing you the worst that's in you. They're not bringing it out. It's there under pressure. That's when we start seeing what we're really like, which can be discouraging. It should help us to encourage ourselves to get stronger in our faith and stronger in our resolve to do things right and react in a right way. So tonight, the Super Bowl will end. The winners will glory in their victory, as they should. But even as we glory in some of the greatest successes in our life, we always have to remember what Jesus said in Gospel of Mark chapter 8, verse 36. What good is it to gain the whole world and yet forfeit your soul? We have to remember even our greatest victories. We can't forget the things that really matter. The most important things that really matter is your relationship with God and knowing God in your life. Jesus didn't play it safe. He played it faithful. Jesus didn't avoid pressure. He didn't quit when it got hard. He didn't play for applause. He played for love, for redemption, for you and for me. He wasn't worried about winning the crowd. He was busy saving the world. So today, many of you will be gathering, cheering for one team or another. In my case, I could care less about either one of them. Not that I don't care about people. I don't care about those teams. Actually, I did go to the Super Bowl once. It was the same stupid teams that are there today. I might be having flashbacks on it. Yeah. I went with my son, Phil. Holy moly, it was expensive then. It's like insane now. What is it, $6,000, $7,000 for a ticket? Thankfully. And here's the thing. If you're discouraged because you can't go to the Super Bowl, I promise you, you can't see anything. Your best seat is in front of your television. Massive stadiums. And they have the performers. You know, what was her name? She still has the same name. I can't think of it. Katy Perry. Ever tell you my Katy Perry story? Yeah, you guys, you work for me. You can't escape me. But I was at somebody's birthday party, some of the young people, and I got this phone call, and I stepped out of the birthday party and took the call. He said, "Hi, this is so-and-so. I'm Katy Perry's dad. And I just want to let you know, we love listening to you speak. And we have all your DVDs," and so he goes on and on, how fabulous I am. Obviously, he's a brilliant man. He says, "Listen, if you ever want to come to one of Katy's concerts, let us know. I'll get you tickets. You can go backstage. You get a chance to meet her, blah, 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 blah." I said, "Well, thanks, man." And I got off the phone, and I went back inside, and everybody looked at me and said, "What was that?" I said, "Katy Perry's dad just called me." And they went, "Oh." And I said, "Who's Katy Perry?" I had no idea. I'm old. Anyway, so she's performing. She's just flying around. I couldn't see anything, you know. Anyway, all these great moments on the field. And all you do is look at the screen. So don't feel bad if you can't make it to the big game and spend an outrageous amount of money. Anyway, people will be gathering, rooting for their teams. Others will just be turning on the TV and hanging out for the food. But when the game is over, the question of life remains: what are we all really playing for? What motivates us? Where are we practicing? Where are we preparing? Where are we studying and giving ourselves to succeed in life? Remember, don't get caught up too much in the day-to-day stuff. The crazy thing is, the day-to-day stuff is on top of you all the time. You can't escape it. The challenge in life is to not become obsessed with what we face every day, but keep our eyes and focus on what really, truly matters. And that's the challenge. Amen. We're going to celebrate our time of communion now. Ushers are going to come and serve us. This is when we turn our attentions to why we're here. We're here because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. His body was broken so that we could be made whole. His blood was shed so we could have the forgiveness of sins. But the Bible says, let me read this to you. It says in 1 Corinthians, "Whoever eats and drinks of the cup, eats of the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and the blood of the Lord." Ooh, something you don't want. But he says the next verse, "Examine yourselves, and then only eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So with those words in mind, let's bow our heads as we reflect on our own hearts and lives. Where are we at? Where are you at in your faith? Are you finding yourself falling apart, collapsing under pressure, just showing you the weaknesses? Don't get discouraged, but get strong. Focus on the things that matter. The Bible says that all who eat and drink and eat of the bread and drink of the cup without discerning of the Lord eats and drinks judgment against themselves. And we don't want that. So, Father, we pray right now. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause to examine ourselves. If we've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, by what we've done or by what we've left undone, if we've not loved you with our whole heart, if we've not loved our neighbors as ourselves for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray have mercy on all of us and forgive us of all of our sins. And as heads are bowed, people are reflecting and just making things right with God. Maybe you're here this morning thinking, you know, I've never really done any of the stuff that you guys are talking about or singing about. Well, you can right now. Just in your own words, whisper to Jesus. Say, "Jesus, please come into my life and and forgive me of my sins. And you can experience your first steps of faith with us here this morning. Because if you put your trust and faith in him, he will change your life. Amen.